course of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six fun Disney World restaurants. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 70 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of May 1st, 2016. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans. Whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Today's podcast is sponsored by Ear to Their Travel. If you are planning a trip to anywhere that Disney goes, give Phil at Ear to Their Travel a call. Phil is a former Disney cast member who really understands how Disney works. He can help you plan all the details of your next trip at no extra cost, all while making sure that you get the best deal on your vacation. You can reach Phil at eartotheirtravel.com.
The Walt Disney World Resort has dozens and dozens of restaurants of all kinds and shapes and sizes. Depending on your mood, the amount of time you have, and the amount of money you have, you could take in a meal that's adventurous, elegant, fast, leisurely, or even out of this world. However, today we're going to zero in on restaurants that provide more than just food. They provide fun. Today we're going to look at the top six fun Disney World restaurants. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome a man who's been known to whoop it up at Disney dining establishments, Mr. Johnny Shortsleeve. Johnny, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me back, man. This is so much fun. And I've whooped it up a little bit here and there, and I'm really excited to talk about this topic. So thanks for letting me come and chat with you.
Me too. It's got fun as its middle name, so I think it will be a fun show. Today we are coming to you from Disney's Art of Animation, so you might hear some sounds in the background. And before we get into the fun topic, our traditional warm-up question, and today it is, what is your favorite scene from the old Soarin' movie?
Old Soarin' movie, yes. I'm going to say it has to be the golf ball scene, and I had to pause for a second because I was going to think, ooh, I don't want to be a spoiler. I don't want to spoil this for anybody who hasn't done it yet, but we can't spoil it anymore. It's a done deal. The golf ball scene was my favorite scene. For some reason, every single time I saw it, I knew what was coming, I knew when it was coming, but it still made me jump a little bit. And what makes it extra special for me is that my three-year-old son, before they closed the attraction for the refurbishment, was on this bender of wanting to go on Soarin'. Like, it was literally once a week we would go down and he'd want to ride Soarin' for that very scene. He loved the golf ball scene. So it has a special place in my heart, too. Not just because it was fun and entertaining, but because my son really latched onto Soarin' for that scene.
You always hear some squeals and you see some people ducking when that scene comes. So I heard a rumor once that was supposedly Michael Eisner hitting that golf ball. Have you ever heard that one before?
That's so funny you mentioned that. I have heard that, too. And what's the answer? Is it him?
Or? I have no idea. I don't know.
That's a pretty pretty cool cameo. Like, it's one thing to have a cameo in a movie, like, a big blockbuster film, lots of A-listers in there, and then you sneak in there. But to have a cameo in a Walt Disney World attraction or Disneyland, that's a whole new level.
That's
next level.
Yeah,
exactly.
It definitely is at a whole new level. So from the old Soarin' movie, I think I would have to pick the scene where the people are kayaking and you soar down close to the water. I always think my feet are going to get wet, and somehow they never do. But that was one of my favorites.
That's one of those ones where you think, oh, man, I wish I was wearing flip-flops and left the flip-flops on the floor back when they took us off, because then my feet went in the water. Yeah, it did. I know exactly what you mean. It did feel like you're getting ready to just tip your toes right in there.
Yep, and yet it never happened. All right. So this is an interesting topic, and I'd like your thoughts on sort of how did you come up with your list? We talk about fun. What does that mean to you in the context of Disney World restaurants?
Well, first off, let me tell you that I did probably one of the most ridiculous things ever when I came up with my list. I did it when I was hungry, right between meals, in the middle of the afternoon, like 4 o'clock when the dinner bell is going to be chiming anytime soon. I said, let me sit down and do the list, and that was a huge mistake. Because I was sitting there thinking about all the different restaurants that I wanted to mention, and as I'm doing that, I felt my stomach rumbling, thinking, oh boy, you better hurry up and get this list going and get some dinner fired up, because this is not going to be pretty. Basically, what I did was I did a rundown, went on Disney World's website and did a rundown so I could see all of them in one place. And I tried to narrow it down, because what I started to think about was, as I'm going on the list, I could literally tell you something that was a fun or novel element to every restaurant here, which, you know, it sounds crazy, but literally it doesn't matter the price point. You don't have to go out and spend a lot of money to enjoy a fun dining experience here, which I think is cool, because if you're here on a budget, you know, you don't have to feel like you're getting left out of the cold, because, you know, you're not spending, or, you know, using dining credit, you know, double dining credits for, you know, some of the signature restaurants in order to get that experience. You can get it, you know, here at Art of Animation, Landscape of Flavors. That's a fun restaurant to hang out in, and there's, you know, the music going, there's great food, there's a lot of visual elements that play into the overall atmosphere. I think this is a fun one too. But so to my list, though, I tried to come up with something that, a list that had some novelty, something kind of different, and but you know me, Herb, you know, when I come up with a list, I want to have a little something different in there, a little spin, so I hope I'm going to throw a couple curveballs your way.
Yeah, and you are good at the curveball. You're definitely good at the curveball. It was hard, because I think you could describe a lot of the restaurants as fun. I would say Victorian Albert's is fun in its own way, but that's not the word that would first come to mind. I would say more elegant or outstanding.
Right.
And so fun, I think about it in the woo-woo, hey, this is a exciting, different, unique sort of experience. That's what I thought of when I was thinking about fun when it came to restaurants.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a big element of that is the cast members. You know, a lot, like you mentioned Victorian Albert's. You know, if you dine there, the cast members are hardcore foodies, all of them. And if, you know, if that's your kind of thing, you can have a lot of fun just talking with other people, other like-minded people, while you're having a dining experience. It doesn't have to be, you know, Victorian Albert's, you know, the harp player in there. You know, it's entertainment. It's different. Where else can you go to get that? So, yeah, that could be a good example if that was on your list.
Yeah, but it wasn't. So it will be interesting to see what does make it onto the list.
Okay, all right. My interest is piqued.
Yeah, I guess I snuck that one in, but that's not like on the official six. So
that's the appetizer to the list right there.
And a good appetizer it is. Okay, Johnny, over to you for number one.
All right. I have a progression on my list. So we're going to, you know, I told you I want to throw some curveballs. This one's kind of a softball, but we're going to get into curveballs here. The Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater Restaurant. Mm. Sci-Fi, it's over in Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's kind of a curveball because for some reason, I don't think this one is huge on people's radar anymore. And I don't know what happened or why. I remember, you know, when Disney's Hollywood Studios, or, you know, MGM Studios, when it first opened, I guess this was maybe a couple years after the park opened that Sci-Fi came. I don't remember exactly the timing. But I remember this was one of the restaurants that a lot of people were talking about. This was a hot ticket. You know, for those of you who haven't been there, essentially the experience is you walk into what kind of looks like a box office for a drive-in theater. You have car hops. There are people on the cast members are on roller skates, and they have costumes from like the 50s. 50s kind of pattern, and they escort you into the theater, and the theater is laid out like a drive-in theater, and which is essentially the restaurant, and the cars that you see there are actually the tables, and there's most, I guess, I don't know what the exact breakout is, let's just call it 80-85% of the tables there are in these little convertibles where you have either four seats or six seats in them. And you're facing this really cool-looking screen, and the backdrop, literally all around, it looks like you're in a drive-in theater at night. There's stars overhead, some neat little trees off in the distance, and the screen is playing this 45-minute or so loop of clips from sci-fi movies and cartoons from the 50s and 60s era. They're not scary, but they're kind of, I guess they were scary at the time. But one of the things that's fun is it's been a couple years since I've been in there, but the thing that I remember, like the first thing that came to mind was there's one scene in that film, if you know the scene I'm talking about, where at one point there's a giant man, they take a needle and they try to, a hypodermic needle, and they try to stick him with it to try, like, the serum to help him. And as soon as the needle punctures his skin, all the servers, all the cast members just scream, like, ah! And you know it's coming, but it still scares you anyway. The food's fun. It's kind of, it's, you know, a play on Americana kind of food. They have, like, a lot of burgers on the menu. I think at one time they had a couple of hot dog options. I'm not sure if that's still going on lunch. But one, you know, Americana doesn't get more Americana than fried pickles. They have fried pickles on the menu there. That's one of my favorites. Everyone, when I say that, I probably, anybody listening to this who just said, I'm turning this off right now, please don't. Hang in there with me because we got some cool stuff here. Fried pickles, though, are cool. I love fried pickles. They're on the menu there. Neat desserts and shakes. And so there's a lot of options on the menu. Can appeal to a lot of different tastes. And people who different with different interests. So if you're a little more adventurous, there's some stuff on that menu for you. If you kind of like to steer more toward conservative types of offerings, you'll be great there as well. So that's my first pick, the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater.
Sci-Fi Dine-In, that is a good choice. I think something that's fun about it is the movies that you mentioned, because there are all these old black and white B-movies, which you don't really see anywhere. And I think today they're kind of entertaining, where at the time maybe they were a little more serious.
Yeah.
And I think the cast members there do a really good job of bringing you into that experience of being in a drive-in. That's a great choice.
And maybe that's an interesting commentary on how desensitized we are as a society. Because that's not that long ago, if you think about it, 50s and 60s, and now we look at that and kind of laugh, whereas then they were probably scared out of their skin when they saw that stuff happen. They're like, oh, that's funny.
That's kind of strange, isn't it? That is kind of strange. All right, that's an excellent choice, Sci-Fi Dine-In for number one. Number two is back over to me. I'm actually going to stay in Disney's Hollywood Studios, and I'm going to go to Echo Lake in a restaurant that I hope has been saved from the construction walls. And I am talking about the 50s Primetime Cafe. When I walk in there, I feel like I have stepped back into the 50s, complete with Formica and I Love Lucy on the television showing for the first time. But I think one of the things that makes this restaurant fun is the interaction with the cast members. Keep your elbows off the table, which I'm not really good at doing. Eat your vegetables, which I'm also not very good at doing. So I think it's a fun, interactive experience. I think that the show, so to speak, that the cast members put on, the improv, is as much fun as the environment and the food. So the fact that there are no construction walls up around the 50s Primetime Cafe right now makes me smile. I don't know that it's always going to be the case, but I was concerned for a while that restaurant was on the chopping block given some of the expansion plans for that park. So I think you still have a chance to check out the 50s Primetime Cafe if you haven't. And if you haven't, I suggest that you do.
You know, it's an interesting point, because there have been a number of times when I've tried to go there the same day to get a reservation, because you can do that in some of the restaurants here. I have had zero success with that in the last couple of years. If I try to go do the traditional routes with my Disney experience, again, you know, this is probably, I don't know if it's a secret or not, but if you try to get a reservation 24 to 48 hours out, you have a pretty decent chance with the cancellation policy, which I'm very grateful for, because the cancellation policy now is kind of keeping people from holding one or more reservations they don't really want.
Yeah.
And so they cancel before that window expires, so they don't get charged $10 a head or whatever the fee is now. I have such a hard time getting into prime time, and I'm wondering if part of it is just it's so darn popular. Every time I walk by it, there's a line out the door. So I'm hoping that folks at Disney see that and go, you know what, this still has a lot of legs and there's a lot of interest here. But there's one thing I got to say about Primetime that I'm a little bummed about, is they got rid of one of my favorite desserts of all in all property here. Is they used to have this thing called the Boston Cream Parfait.
Ooh.
Which, the menu is kind of themed to the 50s, so there's, you know, fried chicken and meatloaf, which is fried chicken is some of the best fried chicken on property. Yeah, Boston Cream Parfait, which I absolutely loved, and they took it off the menu. And there's still some great sundaes and stuff on the menu, but I'm hoping that somebody from Disney's listening to this and go, ooh, that was kind of cool. I got to go, that Johnny Schwartz knows what he's talking about when it comes to desserts. Let's get that back on the menu.
I hope they do. Something else that changed about the 50s Primetime Cafe is the dessert menu used to come on a Viewmaster.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's not the case anymore. And I'm not sure if they don't make Viewmasters. Maybe the last one from 1958 broke. but now it comes on a little card instead. Yeah,
I asked the cast member about that one time. And I remember saying, when I got the paper menu, I said, where's the Viewmaster? And I don't remember exactly how he said it, but it was something to the effect of, too many of them grew legs and walked away. You got someone with a big purse or a big gift bag kind of slipped that in there and thought that would be a good souvenir to take home.
That would be a good souvenir, but it's too bad that people took it as that. So.
Yeah. I mean, why didn't they? They could sell them. You know, if you said $5, I probably would buy $5.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And they probably make still a couple bucks here and there on that.
Actually, you probably get it with the dessert. So, you just get your parfait and the Viewmaster together.
Yeah, if you marked up that Boston Cream Parfait a few bucks and they got the viewfinder, I would buy. Disney, goodness gracious, we should get a commission for all these cool business ideas we get in Disney.
Copyright 2016, World of Walt LLC. So send in your licensing checks right here.
Nice.
All right, that was number two. Number three, Johnny, back over to you.
Okay, now we're starting to get into the weird zone. Not weird in terms of the restaurant choice, but non-traditional, I'd probably be a better way to say this, Splitsville.
Oh.
Splitsville is my choice for a fun restaurant. And here's why. You know, people think of Splitsville as just a bowling alley in Disney Springs. It's more than a bowling alley. It is a fantastic restaurant operation that they have in there. I know people who go there just to eat. They don't go there to bowl. They just like the food there. They've got great sushi offerings, which you never would think about sushi and bowling together, but they pull it off well. I've got a friend who's really, really into sushi, and he gives it his blessing. And as a bona fide sushi restaurant, I think you said yourself one time you're a sushi fan. You like their sushi as well.
I do like it. Yeah, I'm not a professional, but I do like it.
it's a neat environment. Now, if you do want to go there and bowl, I think that's just a really nice combination of a way to have an enjoyable meal. Go there, have some great food, bowl a few frames, have some fun. And you know, in terms of bowling alleys, I know some people who might be a little afraid of the bowling alley environment because maybe they've seen Big Lebowski one too many times, and they just worry about what goes on in a bowling alley. It's kind of seedy, big pitchers of beer everywhere. But this is not the case. It's very family friendly, very clean, very modern and sleek, and great music playing. They even have, you know, I guess it depends on the time of day. They have live music on their little patio outside. So even if it's a nice day like it is today, hang out on the patio, grab your food, and listen to some live musicians do their thing. Tons of fun. And then there's all the cool things with Disney Springs right at your footsteps right there once you're done eating and bowling. So I think that's my pick for number two.
Wow, I like this pick. That's a good one. And sleek is a really nice word for Splitsville, I think. If I were to pick a word for the design of the restaurant, sleek is probably the word that would come to mind. It's kind of got that 50s vibe that's been updated for today. And you're right, there's live entertainment, there's bowling, there's great food. I think that's a really nice choice.
And, you know, with Disney Springs, I think still with the construction going on, there's still some trepidation about Disney Springs, especially for the locals who drive or any of the guests who are in town who've driven, not taking Disney transportation, getting down there and parking. The cool thing is Splitsville is literally almost attached to the parking garage. So you don't have far to walk. It's not like you have to, you know, one end of Disney Springs to the other and navigate the crowd. So there's another convenience element there, too.
Good. Great choice. Number three, Splitsville. All right, number four, back over to me. I am going to go to Disney's Wilderness Lodge and the Whispering Canyon Cafe.
Nice.
So any restaurant that has all the meat you care to eat is a pretty good choice, and I would consider that to be fun unto its own. But the environment, I think, is very lively there, and maybe my favorite thing about the restaurant is when you ask for ketchup, and every kid in the restaurant brings their ketchup to your table, and you end up with 50 bottles of ketchup. I just think that's such a small little touch, but I get the biggest kick out of it every time. So unlimited meat and unlimited ketchup put together make for a fun time at the Whispering Canyon Cafe.
And, you know, now there's the fun element, too, but the barbecue. This is a legitimate barbecue restaurant, and they have some really good offerings there. An interesting little note, and the reason why I like your choice so much is my family has an annual tradition of eating there to mark our anniversary of moving to Florida. The day that we arrived, and the family truckster crossed the border, and we got in our house, and we said, you know what, we're tired, but we want a good meal. Where are we going to go? I pulled up my Disney Experience app, and I snagged a reservation that day.
Wow.
And for Whispering Canyon. I said, let's go there. And we had such a fun time. That's how we mark our annual anniversary of living in Florida, by eating dinner at Whispering Canyon.
Wow. That's a fun tradition.
Yeah. It's a cool place, too. It's a lot of fun, like you said. And they have a little, they have like a cowboy parade. I can't remember what the parade is, but I remember being in the parade around there. And
with the pogo pole ponies or whatever you call
those
things.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And they have the Lincoln Logs, too.
Mm.
The little table
right.
with the Lincoln Logs.
There's all kinds of fun going on there.
Which Lincoln Logs are just such a fun toy. A great, you know, visceral, creative, like, you know, this is, we're in the iPad and iPhone generation.
Yeah.
That's such a neat toy. And just to have like a big, like my kids go up there and they just have a blast while we're waiting for the table. Just playing with the Lincoln Logs.
Made out of actual wood. Are they still made out of actual wood?
Actual wood. But you know what's interesting is it says on, if you go buy a tin of Lincoln Logs, it says like America's favorite toy on there. Something like that. But you look at the fine print, made in China. Like it's America's favorite toy, but... Yeah, it's not made in America anymore.
Yeah, well, a lot of America's favorite toys are probably made in China.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it's pretty interesting.
All right, number four was Whispering Canyon. So, Johnny, number five, back over to you.
Okay, now I saved my weirdest, my most obscure choice for last. It's not weird again. Interesting, kind of thinking outside the box. The Brown Derby, but not just the Brown Derby itself. Dining with an Imagineer at the Brown Derby. I did this once with my wife, and I ate it up like crazy because I'm a Disney nerd. I like all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes and hearing the stories and talking to the cast members. Well, so this is, if someone's not familiar with this, this is a hard ticket experience. We have to, you know, special reservation for it where you get to, you know, a small group of people go in the bamboo room, which is that little private room off in the side of the Brown Derby. They close off the doors and they invite an Imagineer to come in and have lunch with you. And the Imagineer will, you know, tell a story about what they do. And the Imagineer that we had was one of the art directors in the Magic Kingdom. And what's neat was, even though, you know, his spot was the Magic Kingdom, he was very familiar with just the process itself, with everything that goes on here on property. He told us this hilarious story about the Tower of Terror. He told us a lot of hilarious stories, which is why I think it's so fun. But this one, I'll just share just one. He was talking about when the Tower of Terror was being built, the Imagineers were riding it nonstop, trying to just get everything dialed in right. And at the time, they had the bar, the little lap bar, that would go over your knees to keep you from flying out because it goes, you know, faster than gravity going down. But they were tired of banging their knees on the bar. So they left the bar up and they'd hook their toes under this lip, under the front seat. So their feet would basically hold them in place when they were going faster than gravity. Well, one of the executives came in from California. He wanted to see what was going on with the progress of the attraction. So he goes on and rides with them. Well, they had done it so many times, they'd forgotten to tell him, we're not going to use the bar. And he didn't know about the bar. So as soon as they take that first fast drop, he lifts up off his seat, and they had to grab onto him so he didn't smack his head. And they got it to slow down and settle down. They got him, and they held him down. And when they stopped the ride, they said he was just white as a ghost. And they could tell that he had this face like, we can't do this. We can't put our guests in this much danger. And they said, oh, no, we're so sorry. I forgot to tell you about the lap bar. We don't use it because it hurts our legs. And you know, when you're doing it over and over, you keep banging your knees, it gets kind of old. And he basically just like hobbled off and just said, you know, not anymore right now. I need a break from this. Because he just thought he was going to die, basically. But that's the kind of thing. It was just literally, I don't even know, it was like 2.5-3 hours. It was a long lunch. And it was just nonstop stories like that. And these aren't stories that are in a book anywhere. And which I think is cool. There's kind of like this nature of, you know, like a parable, like these stories that are handed down just from generation to generation. Just stories are told from the Imagineers. You're getting this one-on-one. And you can ask questions. And this person was just so thrilled to be there just to talk about people with, you know, talk about something that they're passionate about with other people like us. And for me, like, I would recommend that to anybody who really enjoys learning about the depth of what goes on here and how it comes to be and the process behind the scenes. It was a blast.
Wow, that is an amazing choice. I would never have thought about that. I've heard of that experience before. But it wouldn't have come to mind to put on this list, but I think it's perfect for this list, especially anyone who's a Disney fan. Just being able to have a meal with an Imagineer and hear all of these stories and get a glimpse into how Disney does its thing. That's an amazing choice. Great job.
And, you know, this could also be, you know, a lot of people I know, when they come down to visit, they don't like to keep doing the same thing over and over. They want to see the new, and there's a lot of things you can do here. So it's very easy to find yourself doing new things here. You could do this experience every single time you come to visit, and you'll get a different experience from it because it's going to be a different person.
Yeah.
And they have so many people to pull from. And it's a different experience every single time, different perspective every single time. So this could be like a tradition if you're a hardcore Disney fan.
Wow, great choice. I just even thinking that there is a job called an art director, I wonder what that person does. It would be very interesting just to hear about what do you do every day.
And you kind of take it for granted when you see, you know, you and I, we kind of walk through the parks a lot, and you just, it's there, it's neat, it's cool, but you don't think about how many people are involved with not just the frontline cast members who are doing, you know, whether it be working a register or working an attraction, the people who are figuring out, you know, how does this need to look visually, and how does this need to be presented in a way that tells the story and immerses the guests in that. And there's just a whole army of those people.
Wow, great choice. Dine with an Imagineer, that was number five. So number six, back over to me. I am probably going to go with something obvious. I'm going to head over to Fort Wilderness and the Hoop-Dee-Doo musical review. Mm-hmm. So another one of my choices that has unlimited meat, so I guess I'm seeing a trend in some of mine. But I think the show is good old-fashioned, corny fun. I think they involve the audience where you get to wave your napkin, you get to play on the washboard. I think the interactive element of it, I think the food, I think the show, I think the jokes, I just find this to be a fun, wholesome experience. And to me, it's something that just screams out fun.
And you know what I think is interesting about that choice is, I hate to beat up the idea of prices here. Prices is a very sensitive thing for somebody. But if you look at the price for the Hoop-Dee-Doo review, I would say the price is worth it just for the show alone.
Yeah.
And then if they said, oh yeah, you're hungry, here's the menu, you got to pay for the food, I'd be okay with that. Oh,
yeah.
You know what, Disney, don't listen to that. Earmuff it for a second, Disney. Because it is a fantastic show. I mean, they are some really talented performers. And they're up there. They're doing their thing for a long time.
Yeah.
It's a very lengthy show.
You're right.
And then the food, strawberry shortcake, what can I say?
It's the perfect ending to a perfect meal, the strawberry shortcake, which is presented in a fun way. It's not like, hey, here's your dessert, get out. I mean, there's a song and there's a march.
Yep.
And yeah, it's just presented in a really fun way. And you're right, the cast members who are in that show, that is a very long show, and they really give it their all every time.
And you know, another neat little thing about that is if you're traveling with young children, there are some cool playgrounds right outside of Pioneer Hall that, you know, there's not a lot of playgrounds on property, which, you know, I understand why, but there's a few, and there are two really cool ones right there, right outside. So if your kids, you know, they've been sitting in the chair for, you know, a couple hours with the show, with the dinner, and then they need to stretch their legs, they have some pent-up energy, you're going to immediately take them right out there and have some fun, and they can kind of burn off or, you know, stretch their legs and have, you know, a chance to get a little exercise in. And it's just a fun, Fort Wilderness is fun. There's just so much fun stuff to do down there.
It is, I agree. And for those of us who don't have any extra energy to burn off anymore, there are rocking chairs right outside Pioneer Hall too.
You burn calories on there. I mean, those things don't rock themselves.
That's true, at least not yet.
Yeah.
All right, fun list. So top six fun Disney World restaurants. Number one, Sci-Fi Dine-In. Number two, 50s Primetime Cafe. Number three, Splitsville. Number four, Whispering Canyon Cafe. Number five, Dine with an Imagineer. And number six, the Hoop-Dee-Doo Musical Review. So, Johnny, thanks as always for joining me. If people are interested in finding out what you're up to, how can they do that?
So the main action right now is facebook.com/JohnnyShortSleeve. It's Johnny with a Y and short sleeve singular, only one. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on there. Brand new, brand spanking new, starting tomorrow, effort going out on right there. So check out facebook.com/JohnnyShortSleeve. A lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool friends that are hanging out on there. And like you, you're hanging out there with me.
I do.
This is just a nice spot for friends to hang out who want to do positive stuff and realize that, you know, life can get you down sometimes, but there's some things we can do to make it a little bit easier and make it a little bit easier for others around you too.
there's always something encouraging on your Facebook page, and I love the videos you put together and the other articles that you post out there. As you say, there's a lot of heavy, maybe sometimes downer stuff that goes on, but that's a bright spot on the internet.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks for the kind words, and thanks for making me hungry. Now I've got to sop up all the drool off my shirt. Now I'm talking about these delicious restaurants.
I think I'm in search of a strawberry shortcake. Thanks for joining me, Johnny.
Right on. Thank you.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
Yes, today we head out to music from Toy Story. And we have made it through the list of the top six fun Disney World restaurants, but our conversation isn't over. I'd like to hear what you think about our list. Do you have something you'd like to add? You can do that by visiting our show notes page at worldofwalt.com/70. It's a page that works very nicely on desktops, tablets, and smartphones. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other people think as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch with me, and I'd love to hear from you too. You can send an email to me at info@worldofwalt.com. Leave a voicemail message at 407-391-5023. Leave an online voicemail message at worldofwalt.com/voicemail. And check me out on social media, facebook.com/worldofwalt and pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you like today's podcast, it would be super if you would tell someone about it. Mention it to your family and your friends. I'd like to wrap up today by giving you a big thank you for spending a little bit of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can find great Disney articles and chat with other people who enjoy Disney. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is extremely cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
Just a dream away. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.